Welcome to Liberty Monks Live. James Mundy here with Mike Mundy. How you doing tonight, Brother Mike?
Nursing a bit of a cold, but we will get through it.
Yeah, but you have a sweet radio voice now.
I know, right?
Yeah.
Now that James Earl Jones has retired, I thought about being a new Darth Vader for like 3 days, but
you easily could do that. You sound just like him.
Yeah.
Well, hey, I'm doing awesome. We've got a great opportunity to talk to a really smart guy who has been blowing the whistle on a lot of stuff with COVID, and it's going to be an awesome conversation. We're looking forward to that. And before that, just want to point out to everybody that this episode of Liberty Monks Live is brought to you by the new Liberty Monks store. Don't forget to go to www.libertymonks.com/store. Get all your freedom gear, ladies and gentlemen. Don't show these globalists you're not afraid to stand up for freedom and liberty by sporting your Liberty Monks
gear. Stuff.
And stuff. We got good stuff on there. Also by MyPillow. Go to MyPillow.com, enter promo code Monks, get your crazy discount on all the products, great products at MyPillow. I can tell you from personal experience, the slippers, the towels, the mattress pads, everything, all the stuff is awesome, but I can tell you the pillows are insane. Just so happens to be our guest is actually a chiropractor, which
next guest bathes himself in my pillow paraphernalia.
He has to, because you know, you must love it. But I'll tell you, I have somebody who has had back and neck problems my entire life for the most part. I tell you, sleep on that and it's completely different. So if you guys haven't checked that out, do so. I've had back and neck pain for forever and a day, and I do not anymore wake up like Frankenstein, and I look normal.
You just look not in pain. One.
Well, yeah, I look like it, but not, I don't have to feel like it. But anyway, that being said, we can get to the good stuff now. We have an awesome guest just popping in just now, Dr. Brian Artis. Unless you've been living under a rock for 2 years, this man needs no introduction, but I'm going to give him one anyway. Dr. Brian Artis is the founder and CEO of Artis Labs, was the first doctor in America to blow the whistle on remdesivir, which I have a feeling we're going to be having some discussion about this evening. The non-approved FDA drug that Anthony Fauci made a protocol in the hospitals. Fancy that. I wonder how much money he made off of that, which we know now is literally killing people. He's also been a pioneer in researching and uncovering the origins of COVID-19 and who may have created it. So without further ado, welcome Dr. Brian Artis. Liberty Monks welcomes you, brother.
Liberty Monks, it's great to be here with you digitally. It was great to be with you guys in person, wherever that was. I don't remember. It's been a while. Maybe Myrtle Beach.
Yeah, it was. Good memory.
Yep.
There you go, Myrtle Beach. Yeah, we've been a few places. We actually travel every week somewhere and get on some stage somewhere and present, or in a Capitol building testifying. It's been an insane amount of travel the last 2 years. Let me tell you what, it only seems to be accelerating, but which is good. Hopefully we're getting enough education and information that people can use to make confident decisions on how best to move forward in the life of health and choosing what they want to do to keep their families healthy.
Well, you know, and things are really heating up right now. The narrative is collapsing on itself. You know, and I know you've been pretty essential to helping people wake up, man, by calling these thugs out for their crimes against humanity. And a lot of people, you know, owe it to people like you so that they're armed with the right information so that they can figure out what the hell just happened and what is happening, right? So we appreciate that, man. And listen, I know you've got some things top of mind. We obviously have some things we want to learn from you tonight, but I know that you have some things you guys are working on. We had Tal Braun on not that long ago, and he was mentioning some things that you guys were doing together. Would you mind just elaborating on some of what you guys have discovered recently?
Yeah. Thanks for the opportunity to be here. And I think it's flipping awesome. You guys had Dr. Tal Braun on before me. That's awesome. I think it's awesome. I don't think anybody in the world had Dr. Tal Braun on before me. Usually it's when I drop his name and then tell people to go talk to him, but he's been a incredible, incredible colleague that I didn't even know existed until the day before I actually filmed an interview with Stu Peters that eventually became 2 weeks later, the Watch the Water documentary. Mm-hmm. I'd actually gone into my emails and we can converse. I'd love, if you have guys have questions or your audience you think have questions, ask those to me and we'll leave time for that. But out of the gate, what's so significant about Tal Braun for me is that, and everybody should be listening to this guy. I just returned from Atlanta, Georgia, where I spent 3 days with him straight, the last 3 days, filming a 1 hour interview with me to discover and take the audience through the narrative of how I came to the reality that COVID-19 and the spike proteins, they call them, that are on the outside of this virus causing disease and illness, was nothing more than snake venom peptides. And we were all lied to about what was actually causing all the amazing, weird, new, novel side effects of this virus. They were all actually side effects of venoms that they have learned how to weaponize and isolate and synthetically make in factories. That was one thing that I disclosed in this Watch the Water documentary, and then my concerns about venom being in the COVID-19 shots. And it's been an amazing opportunity. But when I went to film for the first time, that was 5 hours worth of research on my own, 16 hours a day, I ripped that whole narrative apart, and then it was time to go tell the world. When I went into my emails to the night before Stu Peters' interview, Stu Peters didn't believe me when I went and talked to him 2 weeks earlier. He said, bring all your documents and then we'll film an interview if you really have venom being COVID. And I was like, all right. So I went home, printed out all the documents I had. And the night before, I just went into my emails and I typed the word, you know, you go in your emails and type a word to find emails. I just typed the word COBRA in my documents, because I'd already sent myself every article online. I would email everything myself so I could just go in and easily find it in my emails. So I typed the word COBRA. I had 2 pages of articles that relate. COBRA toxin is the spike protein causing COVID-19. I had 2 pages of just King Cobra COVID-19 research papers and publications at my disposal. At the end of the second page in my emails was this weird, random listed email. It had like a name of a list. It was called the C19 group. They're still together, by the way. But this whole group that I'm included in, it's just a bunch of scientists and medical doctors and attorneys around the world sharing research with each other. I'm in it. I'm actually one of the admins with Peter McCullough, Phil Elias, Alexander. There's a bunch of us. Mm-hmm. But in that group, I had no idea that in July, all I knew is when I saw it at the bottom of my list, I was like, wait a minute. Why is there an email at all with the word COBRA in it that I didn't send myself? So I clicked it to see what it was. And it happened to be an email from this guy named Dr. Tal Braun that I'd never, ever heard of. And this was from July of 2021. Now, I am printing this out in March of 2022. So it's almost a year later. And I opened it and I was like, wait, what? There was a copy of his FBI letter that he wrote to the FBI and he was sharing with the C19 group. I think y'all need to know this story. It's amazing because I read this letter. The letter says, this is Dr. Tal Braun, to attention, this guy named Alex, who's the director of the FBI. And he says, Alex, yeah, we've known each other a long time. I know that the world continues to say in the media that this is a respiratory virus or disease. And it is not. It is envenomation. What is the FBI doing to research the Wuhan lab? And they're testing and using venom peptides. And what about you're looking into and investigating the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill's gain of function weaponizing with Ralph Baric in venoms. He's like, and if you don't have the resources to look into it, I will help you. Well, I didn't know anything about the letter or why he sent the letter to the FBI. All I knew was there was someone who knew this was venom before I did. That's all I thought. And then I realized, you two, that no one had responded to that email. Like, it just went dead and nobody looked at it. He had the FBI letter and 2 infographics, and those infographics were, it had a picture of a king cobra venom and every part of the venom of cobras that causes every single symptom related to COVID-19. And there was 2 of them, COVID-19 symptoms, king cobra venom symptoms and diseases. And I was like, oh my God, he already figured it out. Well, I emailed him back because I had his email, right? And I'm included as a recipient, but I never knew that email came to me. They send thousands of these every day. I don't have time to look at all of them. I'm doing all my own research anyway. So anyway, I just emailed him back, hit reply, and I said, Dr. Tal Braun, I don't know who you are, but do you know, my name is Dr. Brian Artis. I don't know if you know who I am, but I need to ask you a question. I didn't even know this email ever was sent to the FBI or this letter. Did the FBI ever respond to you? That's all I wanted to know. Did they ever respond? And he goes, can I just call you? And yes, I know who you are, Dr. Artis. The whole world knows who you are. And I was like, oh, okay. So here's my number. So we called and we talked that night before I flew to Stu Peters to interview him. And this is what I asked him. I said, Tao, did the FBI respond to your letter? And he goes, yes. I said, what'd they respond with? And he said, 3 days later, I got an email back that said, received, period, thank you, period. I said, what'd you get after that? And he goes, nothing. I said, that was it? He goes, yes. And I said, well, what'd you do after that? And why did you send a letter to the FBI anyway? I didn't know him. All I know is under his name on the letter that he actually physically sent them had his name, and it said U.S. National Counterterrorism Unit.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, what? Wait, why did you send this letter to the FBI? I don't know who you are. And then he tells me that he contracts with the agents of the CIA and the FBI, and his job is to prevent mass killings and educate those agents how to recognize, even with biological weapons, what's the cause of the killing and then how to prevent it. That's his job. No one on the planet is more ready to be aware of what's going on than this guy. So when I learned this from him on the phone, I was like, oh my God, wait. I said, wait, Pat Tao, if you knew this, how come no one responded to your email? Like in that C-19 group.
Right.
He goes, oh, they did. I said, I don't see a reply. And he goes, no, Dr. Peter McCullough replied privately. And then told me, as a result of submitting that information to the C-19 group, I can no longer let you contribute to the group, and kicked him out. So now no one could converse with him, and he couldn't converse with all the people around the world. So he was really bitter about that and really angry. And I was like, what? He did what? Now, Peter and I fly around the country almost weekly, man. We're somewhere together. And I was like, I couldn't believe he did that. I was like, why would he do that? Like, that wasn't really the worry for me at the time. My next worry was, what did you do after the FBI ignored you? And he said, I went to my buddies at the U.S. National Counterterrorism Unit, his colleagues, and he said, I don't care if the FBI is going to ignore me. I have to take this public. We all know that's what it is. We have to warn the world. They've weaponized venoms. His counterterrorism unit buddies told him, Tao, you know, if the FBI doesn't want to converse with you about this, there's a reason. You have a one-year-old son and a wife. All of them told him separately, you better put yourself into the witness protection program before you go public.
No kidding.
So he got intimidated and he just went home instead and started working on antidotes to prevent the mass killings worldwide that he knows are the vaccines that have venom in them. And so anyway, it's just been an amazing thing. So learning from him that night, then the next day, right as I'm about to sit down to film Watch the Water, I was still talking to Tao an hour before. I wanted to know everything he knew and anything I needed to know. And there's only one thing different about Tao and I, Dr. Artis, am 100% convinced this entire COVID pandemic was orchestrated by putting venom peptides synthetically made in factories for decades in your water supply, and you're drinking them and you're getting sick. And I'm convinced that's how they orchestrated making people sick, even on lockdowns in their homes, because you can direct through RFID valves that they have underneath your city and in your neighborhood. They now have the ability to just send to your home, to your community, your neighborhood, anything they want in the water, even to your own house or one apartment. They already have that built infrastructure wise. So if you don't know about that, read the book by Janet Fellin. She actually educated the whole world on this 20 years ago and actually testified before the Switzerland government and our United States government that there is a second water system under every city that has remote controlled valves for every home.
Get out of here.
There's a secondary water main parallel to every water main that's being used. And she says this is a perfect setup for a pandemic orchestrated by all governments around the world. Put any poison you want and direct it at a house. And I was convinced immediately when I was learning about the venom aspect of COVID that, like, for example, Zev Zelenko's Jewish community, you don't think this is a eugenics program? The fact that they even targeted a Jewish community of 10,000 people in one neighborhood, how do you think they did that? You really think they dropped it from a plane and figured the jet streams wouldn't blow it somewhere? Yeah, right. They put it in the water, in my opinion, and directed it right into their neighborhoods. And they all got sick. Yeah, no kidding. All right, so that's what I think. Dr. Tao Braun still, he knows they can put venom in waters and do this. He thinks it's a respiratory thing. He actually believes, in his opinion, it is a coronavirus that they have put these venom peptides with and then did release it into the populace. So he believes it is aerosolized. I don't. And it doesn't matter we are both right about the weaponizing of venom. And if you don't know what the weapon is, it doesn't matter how it got in there. If you medical professionals around the world don't know what the weapon is that's making them sick or toxic, how in the world are you going to fix it?
That's right.
How are you going to know what tree you're going to look for it? So that's really the only difference between him and I. He knows it's venom. Yep. I also know that there's venom in the shots. He knows even more. He's like, just watch the adverse events that are being reported. He goes, I can tell you by the adverse events that are being reported, whether or not they got bee venom in their COVID-19 mRNA shot or scorpion venom in their COVID-19 shot or spider venom in their COVID-19 shot or snake venom. And he takes you through all of them. So as a result of the only two humans on the planet who have been brave enough to even tell you the truth, I decided after about 6 months of doing now, since the Watch the Water documentary dropped worldwide, mm-hmm. I've done about 600 interviews since then on everybody's platform you can think of. And all of a sudden, about a month ago, I got this impression. It's now time to take the two guys, me and Dr. Tal Braun, mm-hmm. and film a documentary that can be downloaded by everybody that gives you as many antidotes that we know are successfully researched, peer-reviewed, and published, all natural substances that inhibit the neurotoxic, blood toxic, and cell toxic effects of all venoms. So that's what we did this last weekend. So over the next 2 weeks, we have submitted screenshots. We've submitted all our links to every research study we quoted. All that's been submitted. They're going to finalize that and put into a documentary, and it will live. It's going to live on my site. I'll push it out to the masses. We're going to reach out to everybody on the planet, push it out to your audiences too. Why? Yep. There are some of us that I don't care what you think. My goal and my intent is one singular thing: to keep you alive while they try to kill you.
Well, so man, so much more of this makes sense because we interviewed you literally right before you released Watch the Water. We had an interview and you mentioned bits and pieces about this, but you couldn't tell us who the person was. Because again, you were trying to protect that person's anonymity. It's fine. Then right after that, maybe a month after that, we interviewed Dr. Braun on Liberty Monk's podcast. And what was fascinating is we talked about you in that podcast, I believe. We talked about the water, the venom. He backed up the venom, and then he talked about was so interesting. And maybe this is something that you guys are going to uncover as you do all this research, because one of the things that he said was in that interview, and I'll never forget this. He said, look at what happened to people in the United States. And, you know, everyone's having these respiratory issues and whatnot, and they're going in and they're being put on ventilators and the protocol. And I know you're going to get into remdesivir and everything about the protocol. But what he also said was this, he said, if it is aerosolized and that is indeed how people are being infected by the spike protein. And obviously the venom is that, right? That's what you're saying. It's the peptides. Right. What he said was the virus is just one of the delivery mechanisms. And when he said that, I was like, well, Dr. Artis just talked about water being a delivery mechanism. Cause the reason why he said that, Dr. Artis, is because in China, you didn't see the respiratory reaction. You just saw people dropping dead. Right. He said, so,
yep, that's exactly
right. So all this makes so much more sense now, and perhaps again, you guys have done all this amazing research, and I know you're going to continue to dig and dig and dig, but perhaps there's more than one delivery method.
Oh yeah, I believe it. In fact, the whole reason why we're doing this, when I reached out to Tao was really pissed that I had come to the same conclusions without ever knowing him. He hated that.
Wow. Really?
He actually felt slighted by God a little bit that I was given this information that he was trying to get to all of us anyway, and then was just dismissed. So he kept saying, there must be a reason why God gave this to you. And maybe there is some timing to this that was necessary. And I'll give you some of my feelings on what that is. I never wanted this stuff. I never thought this stuff. I couldn't believe that this was something I was looking into and uncovering. Had no idea this is what was going to happen. For Tao, though, ever since the beginning of the phone call, he said, Dr. Artis, there's something about this that's very specific. You're going to help me get this information out to the world. And then people don't realize this, but when the fall comes of next year, his entire concern as someone who battles and fights and researches mass killings using biological weapons, his main concern, and he may have alluded to this with you guys, is that the next weaponizing of Venoms is what's going to create the die-off that everybody thinks they're seeing. He's like, this isn't the mass die-off that you're expecting. The die-off hasn't even started yet. He keeps saying that even this weekend. No, you are seeing casualties, but the mass right. die-off hasn't even started. The next wave of how they're going to kill the majority of people on the planet was they primed a huge percentage of the world to have venoms injected inside of them called COVID-19 shots.
Mm-hmm.
Those who are vaccinated in the fall, they are going to start aerosolizing venoms. And they're going to release them over populated areas and in subway trains, airplanes, middle schools, elementary schools, high schools, universities, workplaces, hotels, and they're going to do it in the air systems. They are going to release vaporized, powdered forms of venoms. And he says, and what's going to happen is only those that are vaccinated, when they inhale the venom into their lungs, it's going to hit the blood that's inside their body that already has venom injected into them. And when the air that contains venoms hits the inside of your lung tissue, they're called alveoli sacs. That's what draws oxygen in from the air and moves it into blood. There's blood sitting in alveoli sacs to receive the oxygen. So the blood on this side of the alveoli sac and the air inside the lungs, when those two venoms hit each other, they're going to shred the alveoli sacs, and you're going to bleed internally in your lungs. And your lungs are going to immediately start laying down scar tissue because you're going to start drowning to death. And your lungs will develop pulmonary fibrosis or cartilage or scar tissue, and only the vaccinated will die. This is how they're going to do it. And then he goes like this. Did you know that right now, Dr. Artis, this was back in March when I called him. He goes, Dr. Artis, do you know that right now I can go online and I can buy a spray can of aerosolized King Cobra venom? You can just shake it in a can and just spray
what?
Yeah, he goes, that's what they're going to do. They're going to walk on airplanes. They're going to spray this stuff that looks like disinfectant, and it isn't. It's actually venom. And then when only the vaccinated inhale it, they will start developing signs and symptoms of pulmonary fibrosis. If they don't get lung transplants, they will all die. This is how they're going to kill the vaccinated and leave the unvaccinated alone.
What's the purpose of a commercially sold venom spray?
What's the what? What's
the purpose of it? Why are they?
Yeah, I'd like you to tell me what's the purpose. Yeah, I can't think of one. So if you go right now, I don't know if you want to, but you can go right now on the United States Department of Justice website. States Department of Justice website, type in U.S. Department of Justice, conotoxins, C-O-N-O toxins. And it's titled Weapon of the Sea. This is a little snail that lives in the ocean. In 2012, it's still on the U.S. Department of Justice website. They actually state that the amount of snail venom they have made in factories around the world, this snail venom, this whole article right here, just the abstract there, you can scroll up. They say their concerns are it could be stolen by terrorists and be used as a bioterrorist weapon. Look at that. It says the most lethal effect of conotoxins in the middle. The most lethal effect of conotoxins to humans is muscle paralysis of the diaphragm, causing respiratory arrest. And then it says down there, conotoxins are at risk of terrorist use, including alpha conotoxins and O conotoxins. Anyway, it says, but most are not a bioterrorism threat. But they talk in here in this article when you open it. It says there. Well, you have to open it. This isn't the actual article. It's just the actual.
Gotcha.
This is just a summary. They state in here that they will just drop it from the air of planes. Like picture a crop duster. They'll just drop the venom from the air and you will breathe it. And terrorists, they said, will use it over populated areas. And when these people breathe it in, it'll go into the lungs, cause respiratory arrest. And just so you know, that conotoxin I just mentioned, these are snails in the ocean that have a venom they inject into fish that cause immediate paralysis and respiratory arrest that leads to death of fish. Conotoxins, that venom that they say on the U.S. Department of Justice website, they fear could be used. They say most conotoxins cannot be a bioterrorist threat, but they differentiated in the article. Alpha conotoxins are the one they're worried about. You know what's amazing about that? Do you know that in Italy in June of 2020, Italian researchers found that in the blood and feces of every COVID-19 patient, they found conotoxin venom in their blood and their feces, and they published it in July of 2020. This is really the sixth and seventh month of the pandemic. They found 16 different shellfish venoms, including alpha conotoxins, that the Department of Justice says can be a biological weapon that causes respiratory arrest. They found it only in COVID-19 patients, none in the COVID-negative patients. Along with the 16 conos toxins, the snail venom, from the ocean, on land, in COVID-19 Italian people, they also found 20 different snake venoms in the blood and poop of every COVID-19 positive patient. That included Chinese crate venom, Chinese king cobra venom, spitting cobra venom, coral venom, brown snake venom, Russell's viper venom, Chinese water moccasin venom. It's all in there. It's pretty ridiculous.
Yikes.
So how did 36 different animal venoms get inside of all of the Italy COVID-19 right. patients? How did it get into their body? That stuff's in the ocean. How did it get there? The world doesn't know this until I told you all through Mike Adams' interview that I did right after Stu Pizza.
Yep.
In the third chapter, I talk about how conotoxin snail venoms they found back in 1975 was more deadly to humans than king cobra venom. So guess what we did with it? In 1979, we started mass producing synthetic conotoxin to use to make drugs. Now, look this up. Who's ever heard of the World Economic Forum?
Me.
On the World Economic Forum right now, you can type in on any search engine, World Economic Forum, conotoxins or marine snails and drugs. They have several pages of how the World Economic Forum is using scientists and investing money into scientists to figure out how to turn drugs out of conotoxins, venoms from these snails.
Have you ever seen, and it's off topic, but it's on topic. Have you ever seen professional slappers? You know, the big Russian guy that just lines people, they go up against him and he does this thing where he does this and he slaps him. They do it in slow motion and you see the guy's face contort and then you see basically his head explode almost.
Yes.
It would be really, really great. You know, it would be great if you just get that guy, put him in a deal, like in a little room, and just line him up one by one and let this guy just haul off on every single one of these assholes.
Just slap them all. You
ain't literally, just slap them into next week. And maybe that will slap some sense into them before before everything else happens to them, you know, once everyone figures this out. But that would be a pleasure to see, wouldn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Right now, I don't know if I know this, but they actually have a drug right now that 40 million Americans are swallowing every day. That's made from snail venom. These snail venoms, it's on the World Economic Forum's website. It's called Prailt, P-R-A-I-L-T. It's used to help combat pain. It's a patented drug made from the venom of those snails, and you swallow it every day. Just like when I said you're just swallowing venom in water. You're swallowing all these drugs made from venom. On the World Economic Forum, they have a whole page called Life-Saving Drugs from Snake Venom. And then they talk about all the drugs they're making out of snake venom that you swallow. Like the high blood pressure drug called lisinopril, half of that drug that 22 million Americans wake up every morning and swallow. It's made from snake venom from a Brazil viper. That's been sold since 1981 in a little white tablet you swallow. And it goes past your stomach acid, into your intestines, gets absorbed into your bloodstream. It's the first ever isolated ACE inhibitor that was found in this viper venom down in Brazil. Now they turn it into drugs. Well, they've learned how to figure out how to get people to take these drugs like you see right here. They also have another page on here. They actually talk about all the drugs I'm talking about right now on this article. They also disclose, this is the World Economic Forum, man. These people are so excited about drugs from snakes and scorpions. This Gila monster right now, they're making from venom. They're making venom from that Gila monster for diabetes. Look at this. They see that drug right there, captopril. That's the half of the drug in lisinopril that Merck owns. It comes from the snake out of viper, the viper out of Brazil. You can read about it right there. Then you see Prialt right there, P-R-A-I. Mm-hmm. See the R-I-L-L-T? That's a drug derived from the venom of cone snails and is swallowed by 22 million adults in the U.S. who suffer from severe and chronic pain. Isn't that funny? Anyway, they are using venoms. They love venoms. They can use the good side of venom, so they're trying to sell you right here. But there is massive. How many of us don't know venom's bad for you? I don't know anybody.
Well, it's no wonder the people that end up getting on these blood pressure medications and all the things that you're talking about, the side effects are horrendous.
Yeah.
No wonder the side effects are horrendous, or call it just the direct effects. I mean, I hate the word side effect because really it's just a direct effect, seems like, but that's absolutely insane. So, I mean, we had read that because that was one of the biggest points of contention that, you know, the people that don't buy into this, you know, the venom, you know, being the problem, they're like, oh, well, they've been using it in drugs. That's you're misreading all this. Well, wait a minute. Why are they using this in drugs? Why in the hell are they using deadly toxic? Because it's clearly deadly and toxic. When you get bit by a snake and it's a deadly enough snake, you have to do something real quick, or else you haven't have a problem. So
yeah, who thinks? Yeah, most of the people had no idea. In fact, I asked people to raise their hands. How many of you are on a high blood pressure drug? There'll be 4,000 people in the audience. Raise your hands. How many of you are on a high blood pressure drug? All these hands go up and I go, great. Leave your hands up if you're on lisinopril. Lisinopril is half of a water pill called HCTZ. The other half is that captopril from Merck that's made from the snake venom. And I said, raise your hand if you're on lisinopril. They all keep their hands up. It's the most widely used one in America right now for high blood pressure. And I go, great. How many of you know you're swallowing snake venom every day? And how many of you know, even watching this show, that snake venom by itself, it doesn't even matter what component you isolate and put in a tablet for you to swallow or inject inside your body. How many of you know that snake venom has these two factors called nerve growth factor and epidermal growth factor that cause cancer in every animal they put it inside of, including you?
Wow.
Nerve growth factor and epidermal growth factor are tumorous growths of your nervous system tissue and all other tissues in your body that they call cancers. And the guy who figured those two things out, his name was Dr. Stanley Cohen. Dr. Stanley Cohen in 1956 identified this factor of snake venom that causes nerve growth factor, tumors and masses of growth in your nerves of your brain. And he won a Nobel Prize for this. And in 1976, he started a company called Genentech. It's gene.com, G-E-N-E.com. Genentech right now, his company, has 7 anti-cancer drugs that you either swallow or inject. Every single one of them are made from snake venom. All of them.
Wow.
So he figured out he could cause cancer growths with snake venom. Now they're isolating components of other venoms to try to reduce the growth of those tumors. It is my impression, and I'll get to this once this COVID-19 narrative's over, I'm convinced the cancer industry is based on venoms and their ability to cause cancerous growths. And then they're manipulating and isolating venom peptides, components of venoms, that will target from other animals those same cancerous growths they're creating with other venoms. And they're just manipulating our physiology with venoms. And they're doing it through having you take drugs every day made from venoms. And on the World Economic Forum right now, which a lot of people I'm sure watching this are aware of this group and hates this group and doesn't trust this group, the World Economic Forum right now is investing money in scorpion venom research. It's on that same site. They're making drugs to treat cancer from scorpion venom. Really? Did you know right now that England is making so much scorpion venom synthetically in labs, and then they dry it out into a powder form, that they're now dropping it from crop dusters on every farm in England, and they use it as a insecticide? They just spray from the air scorpion venom to land on your plant so that when bugs get on there to eat it, guess what scorpions eat? Insects. And they inject their venom into an insect and it kills it. So when they go to eat the venom, they die. It's no different than you swallowing venom. It's no different. It's still poisonous and toxic. So anyway, to think that they're not using venoms is just an outright ignorance. And I actually wrote a text to a whole bunch of medical doctors and I said, anybody who wants to remain ignorant, you can remain ignorant, but ignorance is not bliss.
No, not being stretched to the imagination. So, so you mentioned, so I'm trying to get my arms around this. So they're putting the venom in the shots. What does the mRNA technology have to do, and how does it tie in with this then? Is that because they're calling that a gene therapy? That's the one of the precursors, or I guess, of the reasons why you have antibody dependent enhancement, where your body can't fight other illnesses. How does that tie together? Do you guys have clarity on that yet?
Yeah, let me read this to you. Actually, I'll show it on the screen. It's actually from Tal Braun just today. Watch it. This is from Tal. Dr. Tal. I just want to show you his response. Look at this. First response.
It looks like it's in reverse.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah. Can you read it to us?
Sure. It says, it's going to take another 6 months before the medical community realizes that mRNA technology is just venom technology, like you and I already know. Now, just so you know, the other day I was with Peter McCullough, for example, and I was like, hey, Peter, I don't want you to type into your phone snake venom and mRNA research. And he types it into his phone, and then he shows it to me, and he goes, Doc, there's 446 peer-reviewed published articles on mRNA research with snake venom. I don't have time to read all those. And I went just like this. I didn't think you did. I just want you to know I already have. So when you guys talk about, I don't know if Dr. Artis is right, or I don't know if I could be at the event where you're speaking, just because you haven't looked at it doesn't mean someone else hasn't looked at it. Just so you're aware, I am concerned, just like Tal Braun is, that the mRNA technology they're using in these shots is actually venom mRNA from snakes or scorpions, in his case, bee venom and spiders. If you look at research, which most lay people don't, if you go onto like PubMed.gov or type in Google, type in these words, unusual stability of mRNA in snake venom. It is the most stable mRNA in the world. It actually will not corrode or die. Even if you store it in a jar for 38 years, they figured this out in 2012. So when they figured out that mRNA by itself exposed to air, temperatures, it didn't matter, it's still stable. And guess how they figured out that mRNA was still stable? Yeah, you can open up that first one right there. Unusual stability of mRNA and snake venom. They figured that out. That study right there shows 38 years later that mRNA is still able to be determined. And if you click where it says DOI, go up at the top. You see where it says DOI? Click that right there. Just click that blue link. That actually takes you to the actual study. This is just a summary. But in that study, they actually show you that it is the most stable venom in nature. It didn't degrade. And guess what technology they used to identify if mRNA of venom is still present 38 years later? They used PCR tests.
Of course they did.
Now, just so you know, for 30 years now, I have found research that PCR tests are solely used in snake venom research to identify venom genes. So why did they force the whole world to have to use a venom detecting PCR test? Why? Because they had snake venom peptides that they were throwing on the whole world. And every medical doctor was like, what? We've never used this to diagnose viral deficiencies or viral diagnosis. Yeah, there's a reason why it was used for snake venom, weirdos. You just didn't know that. None of us knew it. None of us knew it. I didn't know it. I realized this later. So anyway,
I wonder.
Didn't the guy who designed the test even say it wasn't designed to diagnose anything?
Yeah. His actual words were, this will not diagnose any respiratory viruses ever. Like, it will not diagnose a virus. It won't.
And then he died right before COVID.
Yeah, that's right.
Like literally in August of 19. Right?
In 2019. Oh, he was murdered for sure. They needed him gone because he was vocal in his disgust about the dishonesty of Anthony Fauci about the PCR test. Just in one thing. I mean, this guy won a Nobel Prize for inventing that thing. You don't think he knows the most about that technology? He created it, people. He said it doesn't diagnose viruses, but it does diagnose venoms, which is interesting.
So the people that have the shot, and if indeed what you're saying happens, what Dr. Braun's saying happens, and they aerosolize this, it's going to obviously cause a huge problem with them. What about the people that are popping pills that have it in there? Is that just passing through your body and it's not going right into your bloodstream or I guess into your muscle tissue? Is there a reason why the vaccinated are going to be more exposed versus people that are just ingesting it in pill form?
Ingesting what in pill form?
Snake venom? The venom, yeah.
Yeah, like the blood pressure medicine or something.
Right.
So just so you know, in it's a great question. January of 2020, for example, there was a group called Genentech, a company I already mentioned here earlier that Stanley Cohen created. Imagine my shock to determine and learn that they published an article in January of 2020 where Genentech had spent 10 years mapping out the gene sequences of all the venoms in king cobras venom. And they actually state that they have found of the 139 toxins in the king cobra's venom, they have mapped out and isolated 19 specific venom targeting toxins. 19. And I remember that sticking out like a crazy. Mm-hmm. So you're calling this COVID-19 and you just published there's 19 organ specific toxins that the venoms of cobras and all snakes make to target and kill their prey. Ask me if I find that ironic. I don't. So anyway, they found these venopeptides. I was shocked by it, but there's 19 of them that target specific things. They are learning and doing over the last 50 years, taking those 19 venom-specific toxins and separating them out from the other components of the venom and isolating just one component. For example, that drug that lowers blood pressure, they just isolated of the 19 venom-specific toxins, the one that relaxes blood vessels, that's called an ACE inhibitor to lower. Yeah, there you go right there. Identified a minimal set of 19 venom-specific toxic genes that constitute the core of venom toxins. This whole study and that whole company, Genentech, just, you know, Genentech was purchased by Gilead, who makes Remdesivir, in 2011. This is why I was so concerned that they're just using venoms that Genentech uses and makes drugs out of venoms, and they just made another drug out of venom and called it Remdesivir. It's just as toxic as every aspect of cobra toxin. So anyway, these are just some of those amazing, amazing things. What I'm convinced of is that all the research they're doing with mRNA, because mRNA is so stable in snake venom, more stable than anything else in nature, it was easy for them to take that mRNA knowledge of the research study we just showed in 2012. And then I found research papers in 2014, articles where they took snake venom mRNA and wrapped it in nanoparticle hydrogel and even made it more stable. Well, what do you read about in these shots? That there's this nanoparticle hydrogel component inside the shots. Well, it's actually encapsulating whatever mRNA they have inside of it. And then they took that nanoparticle hydrogel and they wrapped it with a substance called dynabeads. And I don't know if you know what dynabeads are, but for everybody in the world who was wondering why everybody getting these shots were suddenly magnetized, dynabeads. Yeah. Dynabeads have been used. It's a patented technology from a company called Thermo Fisher Scientific. Dynabeads. This is what the people who created the COVID-19 shots have published in their research studies. They wrapped dynabeads inside nanoparticle hydrogel, wrapped mRNA with it, and the dynabeads are called super paramagnets, and they're like charged so that they can wrap any genetic material with these magnets. And then when you inject it into somebody, because they're all like charged, they repel each other. This is dynabeads. This is what's in the research papers by the two people, Cataline Carrico and Drew Wiseman, made the COVID-19 mRNA injections. It wasn't who you think it is. It's Drew Wiseman and Cataline Carrico. You can even type it in. Type in Drew Wiseman and Cataline Carrico and dynabeads, and it'll pull up. In the research study, starting in 2009, they used it. They used dynabeads with mRNA to do mRNA gene editing therapy, paid for by Anthony Fauci's department since 2009. And they use, in their studies, dynabeads. But do you know what they use to cleave the RNA and DNA to do their gene editing therapy using mRNA? They use snake venom phosphodiesterase to do it. And it's in all their papers. Yeah, there's a reason why I'm concerned. And then how many of you have heard, I love how you're looking stuff up over there, Mike, you're doing a great job. All right. How many of you have heard of Dr. Charles Hoff, MD, out of Canada?
Absolutely.
He says that of all the patients he gave the COVID-19 mRNA injections to, 60% of them came back with all these complaints of fatigue, myocarditis-like symptoms, exercise-induced lethargy, brain fog, all kinds of stuff. So he ran what was called a D-dimer test. And he said 60% of all of them had elevated D-dimers that he gave the mRNA injection to. and he educated the world, because most of us didn't know, that elevated D-dimers are used to look for blood clotting. Now, I want you, Mike, to type in Medscape 2019, how to interpret elevated D-dimers. Medscape 2019, how to interpret elevated D-dimers. Because I didn't know what that meant. I had no idea. All I knew is he was saying it was blood clotting, but I was curious, what are medical doctors and lab technicians supposed to look for when you see an elevated D-dimer test that only the COVID-19 patients are having injected with the mRNA COVID-19 shots? And I was like, well, let's just look. Let's see what it says. Imagine my shock to read what it says. I showed this to Peter McCullough the other day. You know what he said after I showed it to him? Do you want to contribute to my next book? It was pretty funny. All right, so click these. Yeah, click that one first. And now you see interpretation to the left in the column, interpretation. Click that. All right, scroll up. First five bullet points. Nope, look at the five bullet points. Okay, this is what to look for with elevated D-dimers. The first one, you're looking for a blood clot somewhere, thrombus formation. Number
two. That makes sense.
Yep, you're ruling out a deep vein thrombosis, a big clot in your legs. And then totally the third normal. One,
yep.
The third one, you're looking for any kind of anticoagulant to break down a blood clot. Okay, number four, disseminating intravascular coagulation. Okay, everybody, the first four talk about blood clots you should go looking for and how to treat. The only one that even gives you a cause to elevate D-dimers that's blood clotting is snake venom poisoning. Everybody needs to wake up, people. Charles Hoff said 60% of all of his mRNA injected patients had elevated D-dimers. Medscape lists only one of the five bullet points that medical doctors need to be looking for. You all missed it, people. It's okay. It takes all of us. It takes a village. Go find the flipping weapon. It is venom. And then go get it out. And so from there, when I saw that, I was like, whoa, I didn't even know it was going to be on there. I didn't know snake venom poisoning is what causes elevated D-dimers. Do you know a lot of pushback came back to me when they said, Dr. Artis is wrong because COVID causes blood clotting and so does the vaccines, and snake venom doesn't cause blood clotting. Really? Look at Medscape.com. They say when you see blood clotting all over the body, look for snake venom poisoning. Ignorance is not bliss, and it really makes you look uneducated when you start making assumptions without learning or looking. I would never talk about something I haven't studied yet. So snake venom causes elevated D-dimers. My very next question was, who created the COVID-19 mRNA shots? And imagine my shock that it wasn't Robert Malone. It's actually two scientists at the University of Pennsylvania, and they're named Drew Weissman and Kathleen Carrico. And I did this with McCullough the other day because he just hasn't had time to look at any of this stuff. And I told him, I said, just type in your phone, Drew Weissman and Kathleen Carrico. And now that you know elevated D-dimers, you need to look for snake venom. I said, just type in Drew Weissman and Kathleen Carrico. And he looks at me and he goes, and snake venom research? And I was like, why wouldn't you?
You're growing on him.
And so he actually does. He looks it up on his phone. He's like, oh, my God. Okay. Well, I'm going to come out with another book on the vaccines. Do you want to contribute to it? And I was like, no, not really. I think I'll write my own book. Anyway, it just takes time. You just have to show people stuff. But Anyway, these two people, Drew Weissman and Kathleen Carrico, are getting royalty checks every month on these shots.
Wow.
They're the ones that are – names are on the patents of the mRNA COVID-19 vaccines. They're the only ones who have been funded by the NIAID department of the NIH, which is Anthony Fauci's department, since 2009 to do mRNA, gene editing therapy, and they use snake venom in every study to do it. 2009, 2011, 12, 14, 17. Every study, they use snake venom phosphodiesterase. You know what's amazing about that component of snake venom I've had to learn? Do you know snake venom phosphodiesterase isolated? It actually is the component of venom that pre-digests the animal's organs so that by the time the snake catches up to you, if you slip, like ran away and fell over, paralyzed little mouse or rat, it slowly crawls over there while the venom starts digesting your internal organs with snake venom phosphodiesterase, and that's what they're using. How many of you really think they have figured out how to master controlling that substance to only cleave or cut RNA or DNA like they say it does? There's no way they figured that out. So to me, it's only going to create massive amounts of harm. And we can talk about something else if you'd like. People have asked me, I've done a lot of Zoom calls with medical doctors mm-hmm. to bring them up to speed for the last 6 months. They constantly will ask me, Dr. Artis, now that you've brought this to the world, how does it fit into the narrative we're seeing with COVID and the vaccines? Because they really want to know how I wrap this up.
Yeah,
I said it's very easy. And I'll do it with your audience if you don't mind.
Sure.
So, for example, I'll just tell you, Ryan Cole was on one of those calls. You know Ryan Cole, the pathologist out of Idaho?
Yep.
And he asked this question in one of the first meetings with like 30 MDs on there. Richard Fleming, Richard Bartlett, Lee Merritt were all on there. They're all like doing an intervention with me. They're all thinking, wrangled me in because I fractured the movement. It's pretty funny. And so anyway, I do this thing and Ryan Cole is like, all right, can you sum up for everybody here now that you've shown us all the information? Thank you for all you've done and took the time to do this. Can you explain how this fits into the narrative of COVID and what we're seeing? And I said, yes, there's something none of you want to acknowledge. I said, but I've been doing it since October of last year. I said, they're specifically targeting diabetics. This is the eugenics program of COVID and the vaccines, but none of y'all are talking about it. Y'all all say that the vaccines per the CDC, and I don't mind them quoting stuff that the CDC puts out, but they stated at the end of 2020, they said 94% of everyone who died of COVID died with four other co-diseases or comorbidities.
Right.
On average, they had four other diseases. Well, the truth is the majority of them are just diabetics. And I said they figured out how to target diabetics with a poison and a venom and it not affect other people to kill them. It will only kill the diabetics. And they're like, and they say, he goes, how does this fit into the narrative? And I said, well, back in October of last year, I came out and I called the CDC racist. And I said, they continue to report to the media that blacks and Hispanics mm-hmm. are overwhelmingly targeted by this COVID-19 virus. And only blacks and Hispanics are the number one and number two races ending up in hospitals and dying from COVID. And so I showed the articles in the Wall Street Journal, New York Times, blah, blah, that the CDC is relating this information. I said, and then I show on the days of the articles printing, I pull up COVID-19's data tracker on CDC's website. And then I look at the audiences and I go like this, are they being honest? And when I pull it up for the same date of the article, it actually shows Native Americans are the number one dying race in America, not blacks and Hispanics, but they never, ever, 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 ever once have they acknowledged that Native Americans are dying more than any other race. And they are. Every week of the pandemic until now, Native Americans are the number one highest percentage of race in America dying from COVID, and they won't acknowledge it. You want to know why? Because they hate them. That's why. So they're racist. They're killing them, obviously, with their program. And now they want to kill, poison, and target, victimize, scare the crap out of blacks and Hispanics. This makes up the eugenics movement, in my opinion. Ryan Cole's like, okay, I got it. I said, they're targeting diabetics. That's what they're doing. I said, so if it's Native Americans, blacks and Hispanics that are the highest percentages in order, it's Native Americans and then blacks and Hispanics who are dying as a percentage of a race in America more than any others. Well, go online and Google it. I make every doctor do it. Google online right now, what race of people in America have the highest percentage of diabetes? None of them knew it. I didn't know it. I looked it up.
I wouldn't have known that.
Google it. It's Native Americans and Eskimos are the highest percentage of diabetics. And Ryan Cole starts shaking his head like this. He's like this. As I continue talking, I just ignored him. There's like 30 other doctors on there, but he's shaking his head the whole time. And all I said was, now I'm going to explain to you how they're killing the diabetics. You ready? This is how they're doing it. I said, I'm going to put in the link. Yeah, there you go. African American Indian or Native American Indians and Alaskans, the Eskimos. Then you get down to non-Hispanics, blacks and Hispanics. So that's in order of the diabetics. And this is who's dying.
We're not even on there.
Yeah, the whites aren't even on there. Right. I really love how they do that. Non-Hispanic blacks, non-Hispanic whites. And I'm like, why don't you just say white, weirdos? So weird. I don't get it. Yeah. I don't understand why everything's in relationship to Hispanics in America. Why is that?
No.
I mean, I don't know why they do that. I'm just curious. Why do they do it? I don't know.
Who knows?
I have no idea. All right. So this is what I want to explain to your audience. This is how they did it. And this is how they're doing it. In 2015, they did a research study and they took 100 albino rats and they separated them into two groups. The 50 healthy white albino rats, they didn't do anything to them. They're healthy. They took the other 50 albino rats and they injected them with a drug that induces diabetes in the animal in 48 hours or less. Now, before I go any further, I need to make you all aware of something. I do this with all the medical doctors. Notice that in the study, they inject something into the mice to cause them to be diabetics. I have said for 20 years now, the CDC's child schedule of vaccines, they are creating diseases with those shots to actually sell you drugs to manage those symptoms over time. Well, when you look at the relationship of this massive genocide program called COVID-19 and the World Economic Forum, the Committee of 300, Club of Rome's attempts to depopulate the planet by the year 2050, that's the actual goal, 2050, they need to get up to 1 billion people. In order to do that, they knew and were doing studies this whole time that if they can induce with a drug diabetes in mammals like rats, they can do it to your children and to you with vaccines. They're inducing populations of people with the CDC vaccine schedule, and they're injecting chemicals that cause diabetes and other diseases that they can then sell insulin, glucophage, metformin for the rest of your life. They did it with a shot. They know how to do it. If they know how to do it with animals in a research, they know how to do it in life with humans. We experiment everything on animals and take it to humans. This is all nefarious and evil. Then they took these diabetic rats in 2015, 50 diabetes ones, 50 healthy ones, and then they took a sublethal dose of king cobra venom, crude, raw king cobra venom, nothing isolated, the whole mix up, the whole mixture. And they injected an amount that won't kill a rat. So based on weight, they inject every single 100 rat with king cobra venom, a sub deadly dose. All 50 rats that were healthy all broke out with a cough, respiratory hypoxia, low oxygen levels. They had diarrhea, fever, chills, rashes, and then within 72 hours, they were all better. They all recovered.
Those all sound very familiar.
Yeah, no kidding.
That's exactly right. So they overcome all of their symptoms, and then they're healthy. They don't die. It's a sublethal dose. The 50 diabetic rats they just created, they inject the exact same amount of king cobra venom. Guess what happens to them? 30 minutes later.
Curtains.
Hyperinsulinemia. The actual venom targets the actual pancreas, and then there's this massive swing of insulin way high, and then glucose bottoms out. The rat goes into cardiac failure, neurology, coma. It goes into a diabetic coma, and the rats died. Now, there was two swings that happened within 1 hour. Their insulin went 3 times normal. Blood glucose drops out. All of a sudden, this thing can't breathe. It's laying there about to die. And then 30 minutes later, their immune system shut off insulin production to try to keep it alive, and blood glucose went out the roof. That's when they all died. And that's exactly what happens with COVID and the vaccines with diabetics. It's because they have figured out how to weaponize venoms to target specific groups, and it doesn't look like a eugenics program. So what have they been doing for decades? They've been sending lots of vaccines to Indian reservations that are not the same that they're sending to Dallas, Texas, but they're sending those same ones to El Paso and Miami and New York and San Francisco, and they all create diabetes among the groups they want, which is Blacks, Hispanics, and Native Americans, all of you that have been racially profiled and targeted forever. Remember, Darwinism. All indigenous species need to be eliminated, all of them, in order for the human race to perpetuate. This is no different than a massive global holocaust, no different